The word of God for this morning's service is found in the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 5. We will read verses 1 through 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet or still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Beloved congregation, in preparation for celebration of the Lord's Supper, we will speak briefly on the first two verses of Romans chapter 5. There we read, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In the previous chapter, the Apostle Paul has spelled out the great doctrine of justification by faith. The doctrine teaches us that God has found a way through the sacrifice of his Son to justify the ungodly. That's how Paul puts it, the ungodly. Now, that term does not only refer to people who live in open wickedness, who are monsters of iniquity. Certainly that includes them. But did you know that that term includes all of us? By nature, we are all of us ungodly, apart from God and from his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why the Apostle said in chapter 3, there is no one righteous, no, not one. And yet, such ungodly, unrighteous sinners can be saved by faith in Jesus Christ, who has taken the sinner's place in the judgment of God. And the moment we do this, by the grace of God, the moment we look to Christ and put our trust in him, we are actually justified by God, declared righteous in his sight. And now in chapter 5, the Apostle Paul traces some of the results of, or the fruits of justification. When he says, therefore, being justified by faith, or having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This then is the first blessing resulting from justification. Peace with God. Everybody longs for peace, whether it is nations or individuals, but peace is always very high on the wish list of people everywhere. That is also true right now when people in South Korea are, and other areas, Japan and even the Western nations, are afraid of war with North Korea. There has been a state of war, unofficially, but nonetheless very real for the North Koreans, state of war between North Korea and America. The peace treaty has never been signed, and so North Korea thinks that America hates them and will one day attack them, and so they are trying to develop a nuclear bomb. And we all know that there is a real great tension existing right now. We hope for peace. We must be sure to understand, however, what kind of peace the Apostle Paul here is referring to. Notice that he speaks of peace with God. Not, first of all, peace of God. Yes, in Philippians 4, verse 7, the Apostle speaks about the peace of God, where he says that believers to whom he is writing may enjoy the peace of God. And that is something that is experienced. It is a feeling of contentment, tranquility, knowing that all is well, a sense of well-being that can be so strong that, as Paul himself says, it passes all understanding, it transcends all our thoughts. But such a feeling or such an experience has to be based on an objective fact. To enjoy the peace of God, there must first of all be peace with God. And that in turn implies that you no longer live in a state of war with God. No longer. Now that is really saying something, because that implies that by nature a state of war exists between God and man. And it is important that we realize this and acknowledge this, first of all. To pretend that there is nothing wrong between us and God is far from the truth. Well, how can this state of affairs, this enmity that exists between God and man, how can that come to an end? Well, you know how wars between nations come to a conclusion. Only when the conquered nation surrenders and accepts the peace terms laid down by the conquering nation. Sometimes people talk about man making peace with God. Sometimes you read that and people have died after a long illness, and then the relatives will say, well, he made his peace with God. And that sounds nice, but that is not biblical. It is wrong. Man never makes peace with God, because that would imply that he is superior to God, as if he, not God, is the conqueror. If you want to have peace, congregation, then there's only one way. It is to accept God's terms for peace. And if you do that, God will gladly receive you. As long as you come to God on your own terms, he will have nothing to do with you. He will continue to view you as his enemy or rebel. But if you throw yourself upon his mercy, if you trust his promises of peace and accept his peace overtures, he will show you mercy. And he can do this because he has made peace by giving us his Son to die for our sins. And so Paul can write in Colossians 1 verse 20, having made peace through the blood of the cross, God has reconciled all things to himself by him. The war is over. Paul says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because Christ has made peace with God for us, we can now also experience the peace of God. But do we? Some of you may say, I believe in Christ. I know that he has made peace by his sacrifice on the cross. But if I'm really honest, I don't have that peace that I'm longing for, that confidence that all is well with my soul. I've had it before that I had a measure of peace, a degree that I had hoped that things were right between me and God, but oftentimes I sense that there's something wrong yet. My brother and sister, maybe some of you have that feeling right now. And that's not so strange either. Your case is not unique. The Bible is full of references to people of God who had their moments of doubt and fear and uncertainty. And that is why the Lord has come to our aid by giving us the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And to get a sense of that peace again comes only by understanding or trying to understand what justification really means. Remind yourself of what God has declared in His Word, that He is Abraham's God who can raise the dead to life and call into existence things that do not exist as yet. He is able to perform what He has promised. But then there are people who say, and that is also very, very common, we have that even laid down in our confessional standards in Lord's Day 23 of our Heidelberg Catechism. It says, my conscience accuses me that I have sinned against God. A believer says that. But notice what it says there. Though my conscience accuses me, although that is true that I am aware of my sins, my ongoing sins and weaknesses, although that is true, the believer says there, the Lord, apart from any merits of mine, only through Jesus Christ and what He has done, my righteousness is established by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it all comes down to faith. The first time we believe, but also again and again, we need to focus on what Christ has done. And when your conscience tells you that you are still a sinner, and when the devil reminds you that you are very much a sinner, then you better just agree with the devil. But then also remind yourself of what Christ has promised in His Word. Your salvation does not depend on what you are and what you have done. It depends on what Christ is and on what He has done. Remember what Paul says at the end of chapter 4. He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And this is the faith that saves us and that gives us access into God's presence. That is the second fruit of justification. By or through Christ, Paul says, we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. All who believe in the Lord Jesus have permission to come into the presence of God. And that is a privilege and a right conferred upon us by grace. In that grace we stand, Paul says. That is our position now as believers. That's our legal status before God. We are no longer enemies. We are His friends. We are children who may freely enter our Father's house. And in that house there is a dining room. There is a table spread full of delicacies. A feast of fat things, the Bible says, of wine on the lees. And believers may sit down at that table and enjoy all those good things. All believers, small or great, the strong in faith as well as the weak in faith. That is exactly, as I said, why the Lord's Supper is God's gift to us, to assure us of His love.
to strengthen our faith, and to give us more assurance that He loves us. Also, that will mean that we will have joy. Yes, that is the third thing that flows from justification. Rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. And so the invitation is extended to people who are very much aware of their sins, their shortcomings, but who nevertheless put their trust in Christ. He invites all such to His table, and therefore come to that table. Remember Him who loved you and who gave Himself for you. And to earn this right of access for us, congregation, the gates of heaven were closed to Him. Instead of the gates of death, the gates of glory opening to Christ, He was there in Gethsemane and at the cross, standing before a closed door. What door was opened was the door of hell. But in this way, He paved the way for sinners to enter God's presence with joy. And so Christ has become the way, the only way to God. Today you are invited to approach God via that way. That means you don't need to make your own way. You don't have to bring anything of yourself. Only come pleading the blood that secured peace with God, as well as access to God. Remember, you are coming to a King. Therefore, large petitions with you bring. For His grace and power are such, you can never ask too much. God be merciful to me, a sinner.